Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Brains, look where you are. Look, it's coming at you. Coming at you long and strong. Where you at, Angie?
I'm over here, Brains.
We are on the edge with Angie Ponder Reads. She's going to talk to us about some essential oils. Okay, Brains, you know I love oils. But she's also going to talk to us about reflexology. She's also going to talk to us about mindset. Oh, yes. And business pivoting. Because we've all had to edit and shift. And you alive, you say you ain't. You know. And you going to tell me a story if you say that your business wasn't impacted. Because it was impacted. Like my earrings. And I'm just loving her. I like her vibe, her energy. She does these amazing videos that really go deep into essential oils, their use. And people don't understand that they're medicine. You know, they're not just for smelling good and diffusing, but they actually heal the body. They're made from plant extracts. So let's welcome her to the edge, Andy Ponder Reads. Hi, baby.
Hello, gorgeous. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yes. I wouldn't have it any other way. We've been doing this. You booked in August 2 months ago.
So 3 months ago.
You probably did. So thank you for wanting to be on the edge with us. I really appreciate it. You've been going through a lot, like all of us have, with COVID. You know, I'm going to bounce around in this interview a little bit. I don't like structure.
Let's just let it go where it flows, honey.
Absolutely. So what has all this taught you? You know, this COVID isolation and this pandemic, what has it taught you?
It's taught me that being an empath is a blessing. Because this has been like an extended snow day for me. When things shut down, I don't know if people realize it, but everything has vibration. And like even at the bowling alley, the pins clanking and the loud noise at the movie theaters and the heated conversations in bars and the horns honking, all that came to a standstill. And I felt it as an empath. I felt it. And I never really have tapped into the strength of being an empath or the how that outside energy affects us as being empaths, but I felt it very strongly. And it was pleasant for me to be able to just feel all that energy calm down and just flow into it.
See, and again, it taught me, it gave me an overabundance of patience. You know, I've dialed back in a minute now. You know, where I might have popped off before, I'm not popping off right now. I'm really thinking about, you know, I lost my mother during this transition, but it wasn't due to COVID. But I just looked at how many seniors and other people, just in the twinkling of an eye, boom, you find one day, dead the next. And about following rules, because, you know, we were both laughing about being Leos. You know, we are rule makers, okay? We're rule breakers. And my husband is such a rule. I mean, he follows it to the letter. Sometimes it's annoying. But with all of that, it's taught me to really follow the rules, like, and respect other people's space. You know, whether I want to wear a mask or don't wear a mask, if everybody else is wearing a mask, I'm going with the flow. If it's not about going somewhere and staying at home, I've made the queendom, you know, the perfect place for serenity. So I do that. But there's such things that I miss, like a good massage, you know, a good touching, getting my hair braided, because I don't want to be sitting there for 6 hours and letting somebody breathe on me. Going out to find restaurants, going to concerts, all of that. I miss all of that. So You have a great way of creating a mood, a vibe, an energy with your essential oils, doTERRA.
I
Tell us a little
certainly
bit
do.
about that. I want to know about that because you really do, like I said, an excellent job of explaining how to use them in your videos. But you always have a promotion, so I'm scared to run them. So tell me what you're doing right now and how they work.
Well, right now it's the beginning of August, so we always have monthly specials. When I talk about the uses of essential oils, I do want to throw a medical disclaimer out there that I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV, and make sure that you talk to your practitioner, and if they don't know about essential oils, come talk to me. I can help educate you as much as far as you want to go, as deep as you want to dive into the world of essential oils. I'll be happy to help you. I know for me that if, as a reflexologist and a passionate essential oils specialist, that when I'm using essential oils, I can alter my mood. I can support my immune system. I can eliminate my stress. I can help myself sleep better. I can help my body process gluten that I'm eating that
Really?
I'm a gluten sensitive person, very sensitive. So if I go out to a restaurant or I get food brought in and I don't know exactly what's in it, I can tell within 15 minutes if it's going to affect me. I go right to my oils and my supplements that are also doTERRA, and I can help get that stuff through my body quicker so it's not lingering there to affect me for a couple days.
Right. Now, also aromatherapy. I see that you have a diffuser in the back there. What you burning, baby?
I am burning because I'm with you. I am burning. I'm not burning anything. I'm diffusing. It's got water in there. I'm diffusing wild orange, which is the oil of abundance, and Litsi, which comes from New Zealand, I believe, and it is the oil of manifestation. So I figured we could manifest some abundance here on this call today, and that's why I chose those two.
Absolutely. So I'm a burner because I just got finished burning some sage. Okay.
Now, I like to burn sage too.
Yeah,
I don't
I'm a
burn my
dry off.
oils because when I burn them, I put a fire under them or I heat them up. It kind of takes away the therapeutic value of the oils.
Right. And so I have some fragrant oils that I like to burn because I like to create a mood. I like to create a vibe. I like to relax. Sometimes I need to heighten my senses. But you also use these oils, or these oils have been approved to work with children.
Oh, absolutely. I use oils on babies, on geriatric clients. I use oils on my dogs, and they're around here somewhere, but
Relax.
they are relaxed. Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about reflexology. I'm gonna tell you my Louise Hay story. Have I ever told you my Louise Hay story?
I don't think so, but I'd love to hear it because I love Louise Hay.
Well, bless her heart, in the land beyond. So I'm at a big high-end conference, and outside they have all these vendors, and one of the vendors is a reflexologist. And I've never had reflexology done. I've had foot massages and all that, but just to really kind of focus on areas and releasing blocks and energy and all that with my feet, I had never done it. So I got in this dude's chair, and he put the magic on me. I was like, "Woo, you're making me want to get a divorce and remarry you." So he says, "Well, why don't you come to my house, to my studio, and become a client?" I said, "Okay." I go there, I go in the room, and this woman is sitting next to me. She is talking to me, Angie, and she is pouring into me some heavy stuff. I mean, baby, it was so heavy you needed a crane. And I'm absorbing all of this, and we're just vibing back and forth. And at the end of the session, I go and leave, and he goes, "Wow," he says, "you're very lucky." And I said, "Very lucky." He
No.
said, "You've been sitting there for an hour and a half with Louise Hay."
Oh my goodness.
And I mean, she was so unassuming, just real casual. And I'm like, "What?"
That is a great story.
It was amazing, but that reflexology was even more amazing. Okay. And so I really got up, online. I printed out the pressure points for your feet and all that so that I can put my magic on Mr. Magnificent. So tell me how you got involved with the feet and how important that is for healing and relaxation.
Oh my goodness. Well, the way I got started, I walked into my reflexologist office, about 30 years ago. I went there just out of curiosity because my sister was taking her kids there for their allergies. And I needed to go there at that time for my menstrual cramps. And I had very bad issues each month. And I thought, well, maybe this guy can help me. And the first day I walked in there and he touched my feet, he said, I don't know what you do for a living, but you are going to be a reflexologist one day. You have this gift and I know it, I feel it, and trust my word, you're going to do this. And I owned a banquet facility and a catering business at the time, had 13 employees, and I just laughed at him and I said, no way, there's no way. I have a very lucrative business and I'm enjoying it, and I don't ever see myself working on feet. Fast forward to 2003, a lady walked into my office and said, I want to buy your business. And 60 days later, we were closed and I was gone. And I thought, okay, now what am I going to do with the next chapter?
Right.
And I remember that nudge that he gave me about being a reflexologist. I was still seeing him at the time. And I also remember that I had loved doing hair and gone to started my cosmetology school back in high school as a an outside elective. And I thought, well, I could either go back and do hair because that's fun, or I can check out this reflexology thing. And there was a school near me that happened to be starting a course for reflexology certification within like a 6 month period. And I signed up, got my certification just to help my friends and family. I had no idea that I would be having people from all over the country come to see me and that I would be working in three or four different locations and that this would end up being my business. And it's just been such a blessing for me. I love it. I'm so passionate about it. And I'll never retire from working on feet or playing with feet. I don't consider it work because I'm helping other people and it's a
Absolutely.
joy.
So you have a foot there.
I
Let's
do.
bring out your foot. Give us a couple, if you want to give somebody just a really nice massage to relax them, where are some areas that they could touch on?
Well, when people come to me, they don't come to me for a feel-good foot massage. If you have issues, you're going to have some tender spots in your foot. And one of the ones that's the most tender is your solar plexus area. And when we work and we have our hands in front of us all the time, or women are carrying babies around, or they're reading, or they're on the computer, these muscles right in here tend to tense up. So our solar plexus right in between that rib cage, it tenses up as well. Now, on your foot, right below the ball of your foot in the center here is the solar plexus area. And if you take your thumb and you go deep into that area, you're going to feel a little hollow spot, and you want to press in and up real quickly. And that's like a switch. And that's going to really help to start that relaxation part of the procedure.
And I notice when I give my husband a foot massage, I heard it because you're probably working with plastic, but you can feel the breakup. You can feel the crunching part of it.
Yes. Now
Where?
I call those crystals. What that is just minerals and toxins in our bodies that gravity is pulling down to the bottom of our feet.
Also, what about grounding? I'm big for grounding. I love to go to the beach and put my feet in some salt water, as well as in the sand, because that pulls out all of that electromagnetic energy that we have been storing from the cell phone, from the microwave food, watching the television, just in the atmosphere within itself. Do you find that grounding is very important too when
Oh
working
my
with the area?
goodness, absolutely. Grounding is extremely important. And that's why do you think our ancestors never really covered their feet? They're staying in close contact with Mother Earth. And whether they knew it or not, they were getting that grounding. And they didn't know what they didn't know, and they didn't know what they were missing out on because They never really covered those feet.
Right.
There's 128,000 sweat glands in the bottom of each foot.
Really?
Yes. And when you can get into that sand and get into the dirt and get into the earth and you start massaging those glands in that area of your feet, you are affecting every part of your body because there is a map of your body on the on the bottom of your feet and on your hands.
Right. So tell me, where's a good erotic zone for a foot massage?
The whole feet, the whole foot is very erotic, just to let you know. But if you really want to concentrate on the organs themselves, whether it's a male or a female, you want to go on the inside of the ankle here, which is the uterus and the prostate area on a man and a woman. The outside of the ankle is the ovary and the testy area. So you can, not only will it help the libido, but it will also help stimulate the sex hormones and help regulate the female hormones. That's where I apply my Clary Sage because that's a really good hormone balancer. Mm-hmm. I apply it to the inside and outside of my ankles.
Wow. So this is a great part-time business for someone that is looking to subsidize their income and do a little bit of editing, filtering, and pivoting themselves. Tell us about the potentials of working with, you know, a multi-level marketing company such as doTERRA.
Well, if you want to do it as a hobby, you can. If you want to pick up a few extra bucks to supplement your income and help pay for your own oils, you can. If you want to really dive head first, like I did, and build a team, you can do that. I have a group of international, an international group of people who I proudly say are part of Team Flow, and that Team Flow, FLO, which I have trademarked, stands for Feet Love Oils.
Wow. So you've been able to be a woman in business that has been able to shift herself in many different directions. I mean, you had a successful catering business, then you went to reflexology. Now you're building, you know, a dynamite business with essential oils. What does it take to be a winner outside of being a risk taker when you are looking to, you know, shift what you're doing in the world and with regards to your income? Because it's scary.
It can be scary for those who have fear. And the reason I know that is because I have lived in places of fear before. I choose not to stay there or thrive there. And I can recognize because of the personal development things that I've done in my life, I know when it's creeping in and I know to shift those thoughts. It just, to me, the main thing it takes is belief. And I have a saying over my door, over my office door here that says, the most powerful force I have is what I say to myself and believe.
Absolutely. Because it's all about that conversation. I tell people in every interview, I like talking to me because I'm smart.
I like talking to you too.
Thank you. And I like talking to you. You know, let's talk about one other thing though. Let's talk about you as a martial artist.
Oh, I didn't know we were going to go there.
Well, because you can kick a butt.
I have in my past.
Right. Well, I'm sure you still could. You let somebody kind of grab that Gucci bag. And I can see you just walloping them. What did that take? Because that takes a certain discipline, not just physical strength. But martial arts teaches you a mental discipline. And what they really teach you is not to be aggressive and combative. What did that look like in your world? Share that with my brains.
Well, I started that when I was about 11 years old, and I was active in martial arts for about 20 years. At the age of, let's see, I was 16 when I got my black belt, and I worked in Manhattan with the Professional Karate Association. I was coordinating, helping Joe Corley coordinate all of the full contact karate for ESPN and NBC at the time. So I was really deeply involved in the competitive side of it early on and then the professional side of it as I got older. as a kid going into it, I was just such an ugly little girl, in my opinion. You're going through that awkward puberty stage where you've got acne. I had buck teeth. My neighbors, the boys, used to argue over who was going to have to ride me on their motorcycle. I rode her last time. You got to ride her this time. And my last name was Ponder, so they called me Quarter Pounder, and they called me Algie instead of Angie. So I got bullied and I got picked on. And as a girl growing up, that hurts. And when I went into that karate school for the first time and I started doing some of the moves that the instructor had me doing, I realized I was good at it. And I really enjoyed it. And I would take the school bus home to the karate school, or I would take the school bus from the school to the karate school every day, and I would do my homework there, and then I would help teach classes. And I would be there until about 8 or 9 at night until my parents came to get me. This went on for years. And in 1980, I would have been, 19 years old, because I'm 60 years old this month.
No, are you 60? Go on with yourself, please.
So in 1980, Black Belt Magazine, or Official Karate Magazine, voted me one of the top 10 martial artists of the decade. And I was the only female in there. And at the time, karate was really big in the Atlanta area. And I had articles on the cover of the sports page of the Atlanta Journal. And in Karate Illustrated, they did a nice article for me. So things that, you know, those things really are moments that I cherish, because I really did dive into it and I put a lot of effort and passion and love into that sport. And I had a karate school for a while.
Wow. See, I mean, you've been able to really do a lot of wonderful things. Brains, she can do a lot of wonderful things with you. Okay. I want you to talk to Angie. Again, we've given you a laundry list of options. Everything from a business to self-esteem to mindset to being able to shift and get a good foot massage. Okay? Brains, it's so important that we try to find some sort of balance and harmony. Things will never go back to the way that they used to be. And that's called change. And change is inevitable. So you better get in line or you're going to get left behind. Simple as that. So, Angie, please tell my brains how to contact you for more information on any of the things we just listed.
You can jump on my website at feetloveoils.com, subscribe to my newsletter, or you can reach out to me on Facebook at Angie Ponder Reed and send me a message. I'd love to hear from you.
And we'd love you to come back and share more great things with us, you know, and really kind of talk to us a little bit more about the oils, how they're used, what they're made of, because it's people aren't aware of that. They don't think that they're medicine, and they are medicine. And they
I don't ever use, because of the FDA regulations, I never use the word medicine and essential oils in the same sentence, because I try to stay compliant. But essential oils are a catalyst to help your body reach a level of homeopathy and homeostasis, that which is just putting your body in balance enough that it's able to heal itself.
Okay. That's a good definition and clarification. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge with me. I appreciate you. I value you. Look at that. Okay. And we are about to do the thing. All right. Brains, I need you to go in and subscribe to everything, especially the YouTube channel. We want to raise those numbers. We want to lift that frequency, right? We are on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're everywhere that you need to be. And again, if you're not on the edge, you're taking up way too much space.
Stay in the flow, girl. That's right.